It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Great to have you on the podcast, and great to have Baby Driver in our cinemas.
I know, I can't quite believe that it's actually coming out, because it's a movie that I've been thinking about for so many years, and also talking about. And so, you know, so it's, I started to feel, until it started to happen, I always felt like the boy who cried wolf with Baby Driver. So the fact that it actually, like, even when there's a poster, or, you know, I go, oh yes, this is a movie, and it's not just something that's in my head, this is actually coming out. So I'm very excited that it's coming out.
For us, you kindly programmed a season at Pitch House Central for us last September. And they were sort of films that influenced or, you know, came to mind when you were working on Baby Driver.
I think four of the six films I put on were influenced, and then the other two were sort of very tangential.
But was that, I guess that was during the edit of the film?
Yeah, I came back here to edit the movie. So, you know, it was, this production has gone from, like, I wrote it in Los Angeles, I guess I prepped it in Los Angeles, shot it in Atlanta, and then edited it back in London.
When you're in the middle of the edit, is it kind of fun to go to the cinema and put on some old movies like that?
Yeah, and actually, I mean, I'm not just saying this because it's this podcast, but just Picture House Central was so convenient could be editing, and I walked down like 15 minutes down the street, and, you know, so sometimes actually I would leave work and then be on stage introducing the movie like 20 minutes later. It was fantastic. So actually, it was a great time actually, because often that thing doesn't happen. But I got to say, you guys made it incredibly easy for me to just like finish work, waltz in, introduce the movie, and watch it. I mean, that's my favorite thing with those things, is like going along, introducing a movie, and then watching it with an audience. You know, I think actually, like, I mean, most of them were fantastic. I think the real standout one out of the six was watching the Blues Brothers, like, play. I asked the projectionist to play it louder than he normally would, which was great. And then what I hadn't told anybody was that John Landis was there, because I had emailed John to see if he would do a video intro, and he says, "I'm in London." And I said, "Well, do you want to do a Q&A? I said, "Come along at the end." And I won't tell anybody because it's already sold out, so we don't need to announce you as a guest. So it was great to pull him out. And then also he just brought, I mean, I think the credits were going and there was no sign of John. And I was freaking out a little bit because the credits were already running. And I was like, "Where are you?" He goes, "I'm coming up." And then he came up the escalator at Pitch House Central and he had Terry Gilliam with him. He'd just been having dinner with Terry across the street. So then, like, just Terry was hanging out afterwards. But I remember those Monday things very fondly. The other thing that was cool is Paul Thomas Anderson came to two of them. And Paul Thomas Anderson is one of those guys who is obviously one of the world's most sort of renowned and loved filmmakers. And yet I think a lot of film fans don't know what he looks like. So he was hanging out in the Picture House bar, and then every now and again somebody would say, "Is that Paul Thomas Anderson over there?" And it was. And he was just, he was like having a good time. He came and saw Thunderbolt and Lightfoot and Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, because he was prepping the film with Daniel Day-Lewis.
The Phantom Thread.
Daniel Day-Lewis's last movie, apparently.
I know, again. it's so, I think in that environment, you don't necessarily expect to see Paul Thomas Anderson or Terry Gilliam or John Landis. I think people are kind of like, "Oh, that couldn't be."
I know what you mean.
It was a real blast to have those on, and I actually got to see Bullet for the very first time at the BFI doing the Car Land season.
It's great.
It was one of those films I was like, how have I never seen Bullet? And every time I
see you've never seen it at all?
I've never seen it at all.
Oh. So now, apart from the car chase, I mean, sort of very, beautifully shot in places. Like, also, what an amazing opening credit sequence. And in fact, the opening credits of Bullet is a direct influence on the opening credits of Spaced.
Oh, wow.
The way the letters come across and the opticals, and the fact that the kind of the, you know, you see images through the letters, and then and, you know, other kind of like sort of graphics come through and bring on the next shot. That was sort of an influence on Spaced.
I was thinking, whilst watching it, like, how do you do that in the 70s? Like, it must be massively more, much more complicated than it is now to do that kind of a visual effect.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, what, 1968 state-of-the-art optical, like, sort of credits. It must have been an absolute head fuck, to be honest.
I saw the new Steven Soderbergh film last night, and they do a similar thing with the titles in that. But it must be much easier to do now.
Yeah, definitely easier to do digitally, that's for sure.
Whilst watching Bullet, I was, during the car chases, there's no music, really,
yeah,
for the most part of the film. And I was thinking about Baby Driver whilst watching it, like, and you've done the exact opposite. You've put the most awesome soundtrack over your car chases.
Well, what's funny, I mean, it's the same with The Driver as well, and I think French Connection, I don't think French Connection has music in the car chase. Definitely The Driver in the opening chase does not have music, and is that and Bullet do the similar thing where they just let the kind of the sound effects dominate. In Bullet, it's kind of, you really feel it because Lalo Schifrin's score is building up to the point where the chase starts. And the track that, like, precedes the chase, which is a cue called Changing Gears, is fantastic. Now, it's funny because there was a bit in the script of Baby Driver, which eventually I cut out. And part of it is sort of still in the movie, but I never shot it. It just kind of came out of a draft. But there was a scene where they were discussing the perfect chase music, and one of the people was saying about they were trying to get hold of the chase music for Bullet to play, and then somebody else pointed out there is no chase music in Bullet. It's just the sound of the engines, and that's all the music you need. So I had this whole monologue about the music in Bullet, and it felt a bit too... I tell you why I got rid of it is because I thought... There's some pop culture references in Baby Driver, but I wanted to make them all music ones. So I didn't really want to refer to any other films. I mean, there's a bit where Baby's watching some films on the TV, but in dialogue, they only really refer to music. They never really refer to film or TV.
It's nice that in the film, music is used as that great sort of like leveling point. You know, like everybody has their own opinion, and it doesn't matter their backgrounds. Like,
yeah,
you can discuss Queen tracks whether you are, you know, the John Hamm character or a Baby's character, and like it's kind of nice. It's how it works in real life as well.
Absolutely, because people have different reactions to it, and that was definitely an idea. Is at some point every one of the characters talks about music in some way. You know, I like there's a bit where John Bernthal, like, picks up Baby's iPod and he says this line. He's like, he says, I just want to know what's going on between this kid's ears. And then he looks at the iPod and he goes, aside from Egyptian reggae. And he's like reading it out. But what's so funny is because that's the name of the track by Jonathan Richman. But it also sounds like it might be a genre. So it's like funny that John Bernthal reads it as if he's saying Egyptian reggae. Like he's over like, is that what you're listening to this as a genre? And that was definitely like, definitely something that I like doing. And I think some of the things that like moments in the movie where the characters feel like they're really bonding is over talking to music, because like you said, it's a leveler. Everybody has an opinion on music. You know, there's not many people in the world who hate music. Everybody likes something, or is, even if they don't listen to music, you are forced to listen to it sometimes. I mean, it was one of the things that like within the movie, just your relationship to sound and how you sort of hear music in daily life. Obviously, a lot of people like listen to their iPhones or iPods. But I remember once it was something that sort of inspired the movie. I think I was editing Shaun of the Dead, and I was walking through Soho early on like a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning maybe. I was walking through Soho on the way to the edit, and I walked past like a calf that was playing like The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. And then, you know, so walked past this calf, kind of heard a snatch of that song, walked a couple of blocks, and then walked past this, like, loading bay at Marks and Spencer's and heard the same radio station also playing The Greatest Love of All. So it was that weird thing of, like, hearing this song in little snatches, like, three city blocks apart. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because if two different places have the radio on, and there's little moments of that kind of sound in Baby Driver. Like there's a scene where Ansel Elgort's running away from the cops, and he's listening to like Focus on his iPod. But then when he goes through the mall, he goes through like the mall itself, and then a clothes store, and then an electronics store. And obviously those three places all have different music playing.
Yeah.
So then Because that's something, I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've been listening to your music on your headphones and then you walk into a place that's also playing music and then you kind of get a live sound clash kind of thing.
Yes.
So I just wanted to bring all of those elements of like your daily reaction to music playing into the movie.
I think you're right. Two of my favourite scenes in the film were it's Ansel getting coffee and Ansel making a sandwich. Out loud, they don't sound very exciting, but the way you use music in both of those scenes and the way Ansel especially reacts, especially to making the sandwich where he's almost dancing around his apartment, and that reminded me of the beginning of An American in Paris where Gene Kelly...
I'm very glad you said that, because that was exactly the thing that I showed to the actors and the choreographer.
Okay. Oh,
it is. It really is. I love that shot. I love that shot in American in Paris. It's so sort of graceful, and it's just a beautiful like bit of choreography. Mm. I'm really glad you said that.
Wow, I think we need to wrap up Edgar, but thank you so much for talking to us. Thank you for this film and for doing the great season you did at Pitch House Central.
Well, I'm not like blowing smoke up your ass. It's weird to say it like that, but that's how we should say it in the UK. But I do love the Pitch House chain, and the Pitch House Central particularly is like, and the Screen on the Green, in fact, two of my favourite cinemas in London. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did our, I think we spoke to you last for Scott Pilgrim, and that was in the projection booth at Screen on the Green.
That's a long time ago. That's 7 years ago.
That was like one of our, I think that was like episode 3 of the podcast, and we're now on 300 and something. So.
Well, it's nice to be back.
It's great to have you back.
Anytime.
Doors always open if you want to come back and put a movie on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take you up on it anytime.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.